So my topic is an eye on the future, how vision and eye health intersect with public health. And I think some of my talk will be preaching to the choir, because I mean, most of you know how important this problem is, but I need to hammer this every time I do a presentation and prove that this is a major public health problem. This is my disclaimer. I don't have anything to disclose. And we're located at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia, and this is our beautiful campus. Not the campus that I work at, but the headquarters. although now we moved to a nice campus. So. The overview of my talk is going to be, as I said, I'm going to, you know, give you some compelling reason that this is a public health problem. And when it is a public health problem, there are strategies in the public health system that are done to address this problem. What are the potential opportunities and challenges ahead of us to do that? And I'm going to give you some, because CDC is just a, you know, small player in those, you know, in this game. And I'm going to give you some examples of what CDC is currently doing and how we can partner together. So we know that vision loss is common, it's serious, it's costly, but the good news is preventable. Common because currently we have about 4 million people that either visually impaired or blind. And this number is not the terrifying one. The terrifying one that we have about 61 million at risk of vision loss, which includes people that are 65 years of age and older, people with diabetes, people with progressive eye diseases that they don't have symptoms yet and they will progress to vision loss. So all this, we have a big number ahead of us for the years to come. And from the National Eye Institute, they did this projection, you know, study from, you know, current prevalent data. And if you look at all, everything, vision loss and eye diseases are going to increase in the future. Vision loss will almost triple in 2050 from 4 million people to 12 million people. Cataract, diabetic retinopathy, and glaucoma will double in 2050. So currently it's a big problem, and we're projecting that it's going to stay a big problem. It's costing the nation $139 billion, and thanks to Prevent Blindness America for compiling data and work that was done by CDC and came up with this wonderful publications about the cost of, you know, and I'm not going to go into the detail of direct, indirect, but it's just this huge number that's costing our society. And this is just the societal cost, not, you know, the individual cost. I mean, you know, vision loss is, when you survey people, it's on the top 10 reason causes of disability. It is the most feared disability. Vision loss is associated with loss of independence. They can't drive, they can't learn, they can't read very well. I mean, you know, by definition of our, you know, reading and driving. It increases the risk of isolation, leads to depression, to, you know, falls, and then, you know, hip fractures, and sometimes it leads to premature mortality. So it is a serious problem in the country and all over the world, not even here. And because it is serious, finally, after I don't know how many years, and thanks to the work of so many partners and so many organizations and the National Eye Institute and National Eye Health Education Program, vision objectives were put on the healthy people agenda for the country. And we had them in 2010, and we still have them in 2020. And the objective ranges from examination and prevention to reduce the risk of vision loss from eye diseases like glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, cataract, all the major eye diseases. It has some objectives about the injury and the increase of the use of protective eyewear. And you heard this morning, if you were at the eye opener, one of the people who got the award, she got an award for her abstract and her manuscript about, you know, wear of protective eyewear at the house, at home, not, you know, at work. There is a question about rehabilitation, because it is really important to use the most of the vision that is, you know, kept with people who have vision loss. And there is a new, you know, objective about the federally health qualified center to see if they have really equipped with, you know, people who can address vision. This is developmental. That means that we really don't have baseline data for it. HRSA is working on developing, usually to keep an objective in healthy people, you have to have a source of data to have a baseline and then to monitor that, because this is, you know, the role of the healthy people, it's to monitor the health of the population. The good news is, as I said, it's preventable. Vision loss is preventable. We might not be able to cure the disease, but we can avoid and prevent blindness. Sometimes with very, very cheap, 50% of the uncorrected refractive error, visual impairment due to uncorrected refractive error could be corrected just with, you know, simple glasses. Cataract, we can, you know, take the cataract out and they see again. We have medical treatment for AMD and glaucoma. Diabetic retinopathy, we have a surgical treatment, and now even we can, if we want, we can have a primary prevention for diabetic retinopathy by even delaying and preventing type 2 diabetes. So I hope by now I gave you enough compelling reason to believe that this is a public health problem. And at CDC and at the Public Health Association, usually whenever we want to address a problem as a public health problem, we follow those core functions. And the main heading for them is like assessment, policy development, and assurance. And under each one of those, there are activities that are done for not just one community or one organization or one federal agency to do. These activities that collectively, as a community, the ophthalmic community, that everybody in, you know, work together to achieve those objective and activities. So, but when it comes to, for example, epidemiology, it's really very straightforward. You collect your data, you analyze your data, you interpret your data, and you come up with a consensus. And that, you know, sounds very easy and sounds, you know, compelling and good to do. We go to the public health system. And I'm sure you're familiar with this. It's referred to as the egg or the web. And it really shows the complexity of the public health system. The public health system, it's not just one thing. It is a complex interaction with so many organizations. And those organizations ranges from, you know, public safety to academic institutions to health providers, hospitals, physicians, nurses, to even educational system, to philanthropists. I mean, all this included in the public health system. And that's why it is a complex, and sometimes when we need to address a problem from a public health perspective, we have to keep in mind that not a single one entity can tackle that that problem. But with all the complexity of this public health system, if we look in the 20th century, we have a huge achievement, really successes that let us believe that with the complexity of this public health system, we can achieve something. It tells us that this complex public health system with their problem-solving mentality could achieve something. And I'm not going to, you know, talk about all those, but if you look at them, they were a huge problem, you know, 50, 60, 100 years ago, and we tackled them. I mean, we're doing very good in cardiovascular disease and stroke death. Vaccination now is fantastic. We can vaccinate most of the kids and most of the adults, you know, with the that need vaccination. Control of infectious disease. So all these, you know, give us hope that the public health system is working. And how? I mean, I'm going to give you just an example because smoking is a big issue. CDC really leads, you know, the way into these things. So I'll put smoking as an example for you to see what are the steps that led to the reduction in smoking in the United States. The first thing is data. And I believe in data. I don't know how many of you in this room believe in it, but I believe in data for everything. I believe in data for building, you know, numbers of how many people we have them. I believe that this data need to be disseminated to the really decision maker to make decision about those problems. We need, you know, smoking reduction had tons of advocacy. Group that advocated, group the people who did not smoke advocated for it. People who got lung cancer advocated for it. The workplace advocated for it. So advocacy is very important to really move the needle a little bit in those problems. Advertising, media now in our, in our world is very important. I mean, the social media that we have, the TV, it helped. So advertising and counter-advertising in smoking helped a lot in the reduction for, definitely improved treatment and improved, way to, smoking cessations and changes in the social norm. We might not be able to do all this. Maybe these were specific to smoking, but we can learn some lessons of those activities that they were done in the smoking area. So let's dream that in the next, when somebody's going to put the 21st achievement of public health, let's dream that one of those could be on that list. We might not, every time I get faced with a question that we don't have too many primary prevention. We cannot do this, like, for example, smoking cessation. We cannot do salt reduction to prevent the disease. But to me, the primary prevention is really preventing the vision loss. We may not be able to cure cataract, but definitely we can cure blindness due by cataract. We may not be able to cure the refractive errors or have, something to, but we can correct refractive errors by, contact lenses and glasses. Diabetic retinopathy, that's even primary prevention. We may not be able to cure it currently, but with good management of diabetes, having a good control of A1C, lipid control, hypertension control, we can really avoid diabetic retinopathy. And in cases that we have diabetic retinopathy, there is treatment, at the timely treatment, that can avoid and prevent vision loss from diabetic retinopathy. And if we really give up and people, for one reason or the other, got the vision loss, we have the rehabilitation that make people use the best of what they have of vision. So I'm hoping and dreaming that the list that I gave you for the 20th century of public health achievements, one of those could be on the list in the 21st century. So what do we see in the future? I mean, definitely we're going to have, challenges, but at the same time we're going to have opportunities. So what are some of the challenges? Our population, we all know that our population is getting older. And we know when the population is getting older that the vision loss and the eye problem resides in that population. So this is, we have to be ready because the demand on the eye care services is going to be more. We're going to have more number of people with eye diseases and vision problems. So we have to be ready for this aging population. As I mentioned, chronic disease. Diabetes is not going anywhere. It is an epidemic. So even with the good control, we're still going to have people with diabetic retinopathy. So we have to keep trying to find the best way to detect, the earliest way to detect, and the best way to treat. So this is a challenge for us for the next, few years. AMD and glaucoma, we have ways to detect them, but they're really tough diseases. I mean, they're not a disease that I say, if I can, treat glaucoma, I'm going to, stop it. I mean, it's a tough disease. Treatment is tough. Compliance is tough. And we know that 50% of people with glaucoma, they don't even know that they have it. The ones that they have it, 50% of them, they don't comply with the treatment. So this is an eye health challenge for us for the future. But the good news is there are some areas also, let's say genetics, let's hope that with gene chips, we can in the future really diagnose early and treat. So these are some of the issues of the future. So what are the challenge, the opportunities? If we don't discover any new laser, if we don't discover any new genes, just apply what we know, we can do a lot. And so we need to learn how to bridge this knowledge into the practice. We need to know how to translate what we already know to the everyday practice. So this is something that we need to focus on, and this is, I think, in the realm of public health agencies like CDC, and we really focus a lot on that area of translation. We need to raise the profile of vision and eye health. You won't believe how many people, even in the public health area, you sit down with them and you talk about vision, and you know their head's gonna turn somewhere else. To diabetes, to obesity, to family planning, to cancer, and it's like vision is in the last thing on their mind. And I think it's our role, people in this room and outside even this room, it's our role to raise the profile. And to me, how we raise the profile is we have to do three things. Data, again, we need to provide the data. We need to have those people who make the changes equipped with the numbers, with everything that's going to make them, again, move the needle in the public health agenda. Do I still have time?
Sure.
Okay. Data, skills. We need really people that are skilled in raising this profile. And let me say, advocate. Honestly, advocate for this problem. And the media, social media, people, that anything that we can do to raise awareness and, increase the visibility of the problem. I'm not going to talk much about the reconfiguration of the health delivery system, which is really an issue, for the future. But I have the two speakers, after me. They're going to do much better job than me in talking about some of this health, delivery system. Cutting-edge technology. This is just something. When I was, growing up between medical school and, I was dreaming about being this biomedical engineering, especially with eye, because I think that technology and the eye are just interrelated unbelievably. And we have so many technologies that are coming and that's going to help us in the diagnosis and in the treatment. So we have to be ready to embrace these technology and to put them together to help us advance our cause. The theme of this conference is think globally and act locally. And I believe in that. Public health is local. And I don't think we are doing a good job at the public health locally. Local, state, community. I mean, we did a study with the help of Prevent Blindness America, the National Association for Chronic Disease, several years back, where we wanted really just to have a baseline assessment of what is going on at the state level for vision and related, eye condition. And let me tell you, there was little or nothing that is done. Few things that's done through the, diabetes control program, just because they know that diabetes affects the eye. So they make sure that, we have this question of, have you seen a doctor in the past year? That was about the most that was done. So I think we need to keep in mind that public health is local, and we need to work on the local level. And that takes me to the next one, which is, the community linkages. And we have together in this room, maybe we can create, as John is hoping, to create some strategies to really impact the policy. I mean, policy plays a huge role in advancing any public health mission. So now I gave you a compelling reason for vision as a public health problem, and I talked to you a little bit about, how public health system can address that. And I have to be a little bit selfish and tell you about a little bit about what we do at the CDC. And again, because I, I'm a data person, and we love, surveillance is the backbone of, the CDC work. So we're really hoping to advance and enhance this area. And the first step that we did, we brought up a national and international expert to CDC, and we had a meeting to look at surveillance, how to establish and how to address surveillance issue related to vision and eye disease. And we, the consensus of the panel was like, we really definitely the vision surveillance need to be strengthened in the US. We need to focus on a few things because we cannot do everything at the same time. So the focus is going to be mainly on performance and self-reported vision and access to eye care, and trying also to address some, you know, disparity issue. And all this was published in the American Journal of Ophthalmology, and we hope that, you know, we're going to take that a step further and start, you know, the process of establishing this national surveillance system. And as I said, if you remember those core functions, the assessment, the policy, the assurance, they include underneath them activities, as I said, collecting data or, you know, implementing programs or doing research. And we're doing, you know, a little bit of some of all this. So this is in the surveillance bucket. In the research bucket, we really created this innovative network for site research. We call it InSight Network, and it is a four institutions. It's the UAB, John Hopkins, University of Miami, and Wills Eye Institute. And I'm not going to steal the thunder, and I want you all to attend the 10:30 session, because it's going to be talking about this study specifically, so I'm not going to go into details. Maybe I can, you know, urge you to stay and listen to it. But it is the main thing currently is about really how we can bring in the diabetic retinopathy screening into the community and try to increase the screening and the follow-up with the diabetic retinopathy. The third project is more of program implementation, and I hope I'm going to tell you, you were not there yesterday afternoon, and you should have been there, because the presentations were fantastic about this program, and you missed the work that we're doing regarding glaucoma. And again, it's a project to improve the detection and the management and the treatment of glaucoma among high-risk population. And we have fantastic two grantees, UAB and Wills Eye Institute, that are doing fantastic job, very innovative. One of them, Wills, is trying to go to the community where the people at risk for glaucoma and try on the spot to detect and, you know, treat and try to have a survey and, you know, urge people to follow up with their treatment. The UAB is doing it at Walmart, at the vision centers. So they're totally different way of tackling that problem. We don't have like major results yet because it's in the making, but I just wanted to, you know, let you know about those few projects that we're doing at CDC. And John had really asked me to come up with my personal, I mean, this is, has nothing to do with the CDC, or just pick like four things that I think that we as a community, we need to. Again, are you tired from listening to me saying data? I'm going to say it again. Better data for policy and public health intervention development, collaboration, 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 and networking. We have to strengthen that. Again, work at the local level. Again, public health is local. And the leadership development. I mean, we need to bring, I'm sure every organization and every agency and every academic institution, they have their own skills and expertise that are different than others. And in each one of them, we can develop formally and informally the leadership and bring them all together to tackle those problems. Thank you very much. Thank you.